The first one or two games, I was genuinely like, because I hated Chuck E. Cheese as a kid. Like, I hated animatronics. I hated
mascots.
I was scared. I was afraid of a lot of things.
Yeah.
I hate, and I felt so vindicated that I'm like, okay, cool. The most popular horror game is people being afraid of the Chuck E. Cheese animatronics.
You're like,
I'm
like, not a loser.
I was right. I was right. These things are scary.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Delulu Canoe Podcast. Woo-hoo! We are here bright and early riding down the River Rapids. Joining me today in the back of the canoe is Cosmo from The Cosmo Show.
Hi there. How you doing?
Good. I apparently turned Australian.
That's all right. You know, it happens all the time, you know? What you need to do is go on a walkabout, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's a walkabout?
That's when you go walking about something, you know? It's like on your mind. You get pondering it for a while.
Right.
And you get it clear, you know? Clear head, clear conscience, and you're all fine. Yeah.
Do Australians ride river rapids? Now it's turning British.
I don't know.
It's falling apart.
I know there's a lot of ponds in England, but I don't know.
In England?
Yes, but you know, it's Australia's... Basically, everything in Australia is on the east.
Yeah.
You know, on the east, south side.
Anyways, how are you doing today?
I'm good. It's March. Everything's great. Loving it. Yeah.
Good stuff. I forgot it's March.
Yes,
it's March. Oh, yeah. I mean, for those of you that are watching this, we are time traveling right now because we're so far ahead.
Exactly.
So we're killing it.
I'm thinking that everything that I said is going to happen in March is happening right now, and everything's good. I'm picturing it to be really good. So
manifesting the positivity.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of manifestations, we have a really exciting guest today who you all recommended me watch some of his music videos on my Twitch stream where I let you all send in content for me to react to. And you all encouraged me to reach out to this person and ask them to come on the show. So I did because of all of you. Joining us today is the Cam Steady.
Right. Thank you for having me.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's all you're getting for the Australian accent. It's going to slip into like Irish, somehow Scottish. Like we're gonna start blending the genres. It's not going to be great. How's it going, everybody?
We legit just did that. So there's no shame in the accent game here. We won't judge you. But thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I cannot believe how the like stars aligned in a way where I met you at the BB No Money Pokemon event.
Mm-hmm.
We were weirdly in this like dressing room, like alone, sequestered for some reason. I don't know how we wound up in there. And you were pulling out like your gym badges, your pins. And I was like, oh my God, like Pokemon fan. And so we were just like riffing Pokemon and music. And that was kind of it. Followed each other on social media. And then everybody sent me your content to watch.
That's awesome.
Was like, oh my gosh, yes, we need to make this happen.
Because you were on roller skates and were Articuno
was
the one. Yes, I remember. The cosplay was awesome. And my favorite part of the interaction is because we talked about the Team Yell song that I've been promoting every single day for the past few months. And thank you. And then the whole like marketing crux of it was like, oh, you know, I hope Pokemon will collab with me. And then like as we were exiting, you're like, oh, I hope Pokemon reaches out to you. I'm like, I already released three songs with Pokemon. Like it was all like a stunt. Like it was all a gimmick. But that's probably the first time I've actually said that publicly too. I had booked the Pokemon gig in January and then started doing that like, oh, when will Pokemon work with me? I started doing that like July.
Wow.
So I had to keep that under wraps for like 5 months. And Pokemon, we kind of knew they were going to be a little iffy with how much they promoted the music because it was obviously more about this world tournament event that I was doing the music for. So they weren't really pushing the soundtrack. They were pushing out the event. So I'm like, well, if they don't push it, I will. I kind of was like, how do I not break NDA but also get eyes on the music? And so it was really fun. And my social media has enjoyed it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Your Spotify numbers are insane.
Thank you.
Like I was just doing like a deep dive on you and my mind like exploded like with how like your Spotify numbers are like constantly really doing well. So whatever marketing you're doing, I should probably study and like try to do what you're doing because it's working.
It's crazy because we brought up I've been doing music on YouTube since like 2011, 2012. And it really has just it's always changing. And I see people that they do something and it starts to work for them and then they feel the need to like they have to stick to that. This is what I live and die by. Like, oh, like this type of music, this type of layout, this type of marketing for it. And then you know, especially recently with the rise of short form content, a lot of people didn't want to adapt to that. They kind of saw it as like, oh, pointless social media marketing. And now that's like the most important way to get eyes on it. It used to be consistency of like, oh, release a song every week. Like that was like the meta. And like I was doing that for like a good year or two, like every week, every 2 weeks, I was releasing something new onto my YouTube channel, like a full-blown music production.
Wow.
And like that was what worked, and it was very successful, especially like early pandemic. Like that was really the meta, like just keep feeding these people something because they got nothing else to go out and do.
Yeah, yeah.
But now I would advise against that. I'm like, okay, if you really want to be like consistent, release like once per month and then just every day post about that song like 2 times a day.
Yeah, yeah.
And it carries over. If the music's good and the algorithm likes it, like people will see it on Instagram and be like, oh, this song's catchy. And then they'll go to their Spotify. And Instagram and TikTok recently integrated. You can just click on the Spotify link directly in the app now.
Oh, cool.
Which they used to not do. I used to have to like pin a comment that said, the full song is called Team Yell by Cam Steady on Spotify and Apple Music. But finally, they have that integration. So they're actually doing more for music creators, which is good because usually we're the ones that get left behind the quickest because we're the least.
Oh.
I feel like we're the least lucrative typically when it comes to. Especially like think of YouTube past, just like it was long form content,
sponsors,
like 20 minute, 30 minute videos that you could release every day. The Let's Plays, the vlogs, the story times, like all of that type of stuff. And then you have maybe once per week we could crap out a 2 minute song. Like YouTube didn't YouTube did not support us the way they were supporting previous people. So it is cool that like. Although there's a commodification going on of like, oh, music kind of has to be fast food right now. They're also putting more tools to support the artists, which is cool.
Which is interesting that you say YouTube wasn't prioritizing artists. And like, I feel like Instagram always has because back like 4 or 5 years ago before I like earned my verification on Instagram, there was a guy who told me like, oh, you're a singer-songwriter, like if you write music you can use that to get verified on Instagram. He's like, just put out like one good song and then that will create like in the metadata or in the world that like you're a serious artist. And weirdly enough, like he was kind of right, because once I finally started like writing my own music and actually like constantly putting out music, it was much easier for me to get verified as somebody who lives in like the spicy world.
Ooh,
it's so hard to get like any eyes on your page because the platforms kind of punish us. So
That's interesting. I feel like now they're probably a lot more open to that type of content that you were doing. I'm not sure. I've never existed.
I can't get Snapstar to save my life.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they hate me, but whatever. You can't win them all.
Yeah. No, it's the same thing of just like, also growing on short form as a musician is always like super interesting, like creating content. Like it's like we want to promote our music, but then like getting followers for the music, especially off YouTube. Like I have so many friends that'll have 500,000 subscribers, a million subscribers, but then have like 10 or 20K Instagram followers because we just don't know what to do with our, like we make the music. We don't post pictures, do that. Like even if we post like concert photos or whatever, it's like, okay, 1,000 people will like that went to the concert. But
yeah,
it's this like promoting that concert, that content, I think was super weird, especially if you weren't living that kind of like SoundCloud like artist lifestyle of like, oh, your look is very unique, you know, you are constantly in people's faces. That's why like all of these dudes were like pulling stunts, getting arrested, racketeer, doing all this crazy stuff. It's like it draws attention to you, you get more followers, then when you put a song out, like then more people have eyes on the song. But if you're just a guy who likes Pokemon in your room that doesn't you know go out and you know jump off of buildings and you know harass people publicly.
I mean, you're not wrong.
It was harder to get a follow, especially you're not like signed to a label or anything like that. It was a lot harder. So I think it is one of the best times to be a musician in like the content space, just because I think there's a lot more tools and a lot more opportunities for growth, even if the compensation is constantly becoming lower and lower just because of how commodified it is.
Yeah, because now anybody can write a song in their bedroom. Like, you can buy all this tech and you can, you know what I mean? And it, unfortunately, sometimes I feel like the music doesn't even have to be good.
No.
Because, like, TikTok, a lot of the audios that, like, perform really well that are, like, super short 30-second clips, like, in my opinion, not all of them are great music.
No.
But they're earworms and they're catchy and you can't get them out of your head.
But like.
So it's like,
Some of them are just, I don't know how many minutes in we are, but I think some of them are just posts. You know, it's just like, and people like sharing it. I'm not even going to dive too deep into some of the sounds that are trending right now. But it's like, nobody's listening to the song. The audio clip is just funny, you know,
yeah.
And we can like do formats and make skits around that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that 10-second clip is like all that matters. It doesn't matter how much the 3-minute song is good. You know, the song will just, you know, it'll get streams based on just, you know, if 100,000 people make a TikTok with a sound, it'll eventually carry over.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily translate to a music career for the original song maker. That just means they kind of had a viral moment for meme reasons. And so...
Which, there's been clips at, like, concerts, too, where it's, like, everybody will sing the little TikTok clip, and then, like, they'll keep going with the song, and then the audience gets, like, quieted because they don't actually know the rest of it. So...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a very interesting time for music, too. Like, I'm glad you're at least saying that you feel like it's very positive, because I don't really have, like, a good gauge on if it's going good or not for most people.
I think one of the toughest things is a lot of this kind of, like, middle-class artist, I think, where it's going to start to disappear because of how much AI music is, like, really starting to, like, infiltrate everything. And, you know, it sucks. It's all trained on stolen music. It's, like... And, like, it's not going to go away, most likely, just because even if it's done in an unethical manner of, like, the technology is only as good as it is because it's trained off of stolen music that, like, they didn't get the rights to do it off of. But the labels are going to sue them. The tech companies will lose, you know, $1 billion. And they're like, okay, cool. Now we can just get that $1 billion back and just keep doing what we were doing.
Are they actually going to sue them, you think?
Like, no, there's a big – Suno is the AI music company, and they're dealing with lawsuits right now. And, like, yeah, hundreds of millions of dollars are going to go. But that's kind of the best case scenario for Suno because it's not like a cease and desist. It's not a – the type of thing where they have to throw out the stolen technology. They're going to just keep the product as is, but just pay out a couple $100 million to the record labels.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they'll just bend and then keep doing what they're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause like, you know, the record labels themselves, they're corporations too. They're just like, okay, just give us a ton of money. And then, you know, there's your slap on the wrist. And the artists themselves are, you know, they'll see some of that compensation if they're part of a label or there's a class action lawsuit. But then all of that stolen, trained AI data that they can use for their AI models now, they just get to keep using it.
Because,
we paid out the penalty for the lawsuit. It's not like we have to throw out the AI model then retrain it ethically.
Mm-hmm,
like, they're like, oh, we paid the penalty. Now let's keep doing what we're doing.
Let's push the button again and see if we get something good.
Yeah. So it's a... I think a lot of the people that kind of exist almost in my space, but like are kind of like closer to the fast food content creator musician, that's going to kind of start to get washed out because of how low that the barrier of quality is going to be now, because it's just going to be flooded with all of this mediocre but passable music.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Because there's already something like 50,000 songs uploaded to Spotify every week. It's like, I think that's the data. It's something like that.
Wow.
That I could see that number doubling very quickly with how accessible everything is now.
So
it's like, how do you stick out? And a lot of times I think the humanity of the creator is going to be what sticks out. Like, I think we'll see a resurgence of smaller live music venues because people are going to crave that human experience of the music rather than just like, oh, this sounds catchy. I'm just going to throw it on a playlist. It's going to be like, oh, it's hard to grasp to the story. There's no person here. You know, when you think of like Taylor Swift fans or Linkin Park fans, like these like hyper aggressive fan bases.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, like from the Taylor Swift fans I know, they're more attached to the story of Taylor than the individual songs like themselves. It's just more like, oh my God, can you believe that this song is about how she was dealing with this record label head while also breaking up with Jake Gyllenhaal and doing this and this. I'm like, no, I just thought the song was like catchy. But then she sells out arenas around the world as the biggest tours of all time. So it's like, that human connection, I think that is almost kind of missing from the content space. I think we'll see a resurgence in it, which I think for people that are truly artists and not just like, oh, I just want to make music and make money. I think that's going to swing back in their favor. I think a lot of those, like the touring, the merchandise, the meet and greets, I think we'll see a lot more of that on a smaller scale rather than just being reserved for the arenas.
Which would be really cool because I feel like that, for me, like even my music manager, both of them are like, you need to go on tour. Like, that's the next step. And like, I, as somebody who has a big following but not a big music following, am scared to go on tour.
Yeah.
Like, I even made a joke at like the Fit Expo where it was like me standing on the stage being like, thanks for coming, everybody. And I made someone film the audience where there was no one there as like a joke to be like, this is my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
But it's true. It's like, I think a lot of people have fear about doing in-person events, whether it's like book signings, public speaking, like even podcast touring. It's like, the fear is like, but if I go, even though I have a big audience, is it big enough to like even fill seats?
It's because it's different, you know.
I think smaller venues would actually like help more people go tour.
Yeah, and I really think it's different in terms of like, I have friends that kind of operate almost like AI musicians, where they're just making what they know the algorithm is going to feed into, and there's very little of a persona behind the music to hold on to. Like there's people with 1 million monthly listeners, 2 million, 5 million, and they can't sell 100 tickets because they make playlist music, more or less, you know. It's just like, oh, this is going to go into the big Spotify playlist, it's going to get millions of streams. But you know, that's what it's kind of just like, oh, this is background music to an extent. It's not like this song holds this connection to this life experience and I relate to this artist because of this, and this. It's more just, and you know, those people make tons of money. Like, if that's more, if you just like making music in your room, there is that career option. But this goes back to like, oh, they'll have 1 million monthly listeners, but 30,000 Instagram followers, you know, like at most, you know, like, and you know, 1,000 likes on each post, you know, like
quality over quantity.
And quantity can get you paid, you know, like really can. It works.
Can, and it, you know, it benefits the person that's quality, because when the market, like you said, it's all flooded with just these snippets, these catchy things.
And yeah.
It's like, there's not really talent, because there's something that there's talent in all kinds of ways, not just musically, but to actually put it together and then constantly post it.
The grind.
People have the grind. I mean,
and when there's like a hit song, there's going to be hundreds of people that are just going to try to recreate that. Exactly. There's going to be a lot of people listening to that, because it's like, oh, if I really like this song by this country artist that has trap drums in it all of a sudden, then all of a sudden, like, 30 new country artists are going to appear out of nowhere using hip-hop production that have never done that before, because they want to emulate whatever's popular.
Yeah.
And the trailblazer is going to have this huge following, and then all of the trickle down, like, people are going to get streams, they're going to get paid. But at the end of the day, it's like, oh, you kind of sound like this guy.
And it brings it back to that guy. Well, we honestly could talk music all day. Like, I truly could, especially Cosmo, because Cosmo used to tour as well. Like, we could literally pick your brain. But on this show, we like to invite guests that have been like public speaking or like on a bunch of podcasts, and actually like let them talk about something that they never get the opportunity to speak about, mainly because it's something that like is hidden in the archives of your brain and like only you dwell on it. So I'm dying to know, what is making you feel Delulu
right now? We talked about this just a little bit before. I truly believe that the cure for, like, especially like the male, both like the male bonding experience is kind of lacking in a lot of people's adult lives, and just like keeping yourself healthy and like getting outside, is just pick up basketball. I really think that having the ability to just show up, how familiar you are with how just like men going to a pickup basketball court works?
Not at all. 0%.
Okay. So these are people, a lot of times, whose names you don't know and probably never will, and you won't like exchange information, you won't follow each other on Instagram, But at the same time, either every day or every week, you will all show up to some court outdoor or maybe some gym, and you'll learn each other's like nicknames and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, oh, we got a guy who just goes by like Greek, but I don't know his legal name, but he's Greek. So
okay, bet.
Yeah. So
this is for you, Greek.
Yes.
I know you're watching.
And I'm not talking about the Greek I know personally. There's a guy who's actually named Greek.
There's two.
Just a guy that I play, who Greek also plays basketball, but we don't play pickup that much. Different Greek. But it's just like that of like, oh, you know, like, or like you'll start calling a guy like a NBA player that they're less. So like if there's a bunch of like 40-year-old dudes that I'm playing with who watched the NBA back in the day, they'll call me like a niche white player from there. They're like, oh, Matthew Dellavedova. And I'm like, who knows Matthew Dellavedova in 2025? Like, that's a throwaway player from back in the day.
I call a coworker Muggsy.
Muggsy Bogues? Yep.
He's short at work. And he's always like doing this with the cans. Yeah. And I'm like, Muggsy. He's like, who the heck is that? He's like, the shortest NBA player ever.
That's funny.
Shout out Muggsy Bogues. But so we'll just all show up to the court. There's like, you know, whatever. You get your 5-on-5 going, running the full court. And then there's the concept of who got next, and it's just the first person to call that didn't get picked up for the game. Then he's in charge of finding five people who aren't playing to, like, team up with him for the next game.
Okay,
And so, like, you just form your team, and these are people that you, like, never speak to, especially off the court. You don't know how good they are sometimes. You're just like, all right, cool. And then you play a game of, instead of twos and threes, it's ones and twos to 11 or 13. There's like a whole, depending on the court, there's a culture of like the rules that that court plays by typically. And the winner stays. So if you just win a bunch of games in a row, your team can like run 3, 4, 5 games.
Nice.
And just like the whole thing. If you lose, sometimes you got to wait 20, 30 minutes before you get back on the court.
Yeah.
And that's actually how I hurt my foot, is on the first game I played last week. I landed bad, but it was worth it. You know, I give myself to the game. It's all part of it.
Yeah. But, dang.
But I ended up meeting a lot of people that I would then go on to hang out with outside of it as well, because we realized we were in the same spaces. Or even if I like don't hang out and talk with them outside the court, whenever I see them at like a party or an event, like a baby, like the Baby No Money thing or something like that. Like the funniest thing was Hassan Piker shows up to my the pickup basketball court.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is. Do you
he's
know?
Like,
no, I don't.
Yeah. Okay. He's one of the biggest Twitch streamers. I'll avoid the politics, but he's like a leftist streamer, but he's like one of the biggest guy. If you ever see like, there was this group called the Young Turks, and they're like left-wing political, and he was like started off that, but then went to Twitch streaming. But he's like probably one of the 20 biggest Twitch streamers, and he just shows up to the public basketball court once or twice a week.
Damn.
And, you know, we don't talk about work. We don't talk about nothing. It's just like, bro, pass the ball. You know, that's what the conversation's about. Or like, oh, my God, did you see what the Lakers did last night?
Yeah. That's just casual.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, you'll have this like great experience. You public, you get healthy, and this is a game that you can play later into your life. It's not like football or baseball where like you either need a ton of people to play or your body will give out on you if you like are playing a heavy contact sport. It's just, and all you need is shoes and a ball, and like you don't need gear. It's not like hockey. It's not like lacrosse.
Yeah.
You can. It's like the way to stay healthy and social for like.
For men.
Yep.
I mean, and women too.
No, plenty of great women players on the courts too. But it's funny, I've just like also met rappers like that I now like am friends with and cool. Like people outside of my circle too. Like the funniest thing is there was a TMZ article that came out that featured a picture of me, Armani White, and Denzel Curry on a basketball court. And, yeah, those two are my boys now. Like, we go play 2 or 3 times a week. Well, I'm a little out of commission right now. It was fun. I met Armani at some, like the Streamies or some, like, YouTube party thing. And when he moved to L.A., we started, like, oh, we'll go hiking. And then he brought up he likes playing basketball. So then we started playing basketball. Then he starts bringing his friends. It's like, oh, here's my friend Denzel Curry. Oh, here's my friend. Then Denzel brings, like, oh, here's Cordae. You know, like, these rappers that I had on, like, my workout playlist in college now are just, like, show up twice a week to a basketball court and be like, all right, cool. We are now competing against each other.
Yeah.
Like, level to level. And then, you know, go out. And then, like, you know, like, sometimes that'll turn into, like, oh, you want to go to an arcade? You want to go bowling? You want to go hang out somewhere?
Yeah,
but I feel like I've met, aside from online content stuff, I feel like that's where I've just met most of my friends now is through pickup basketball. And I wasn't even a basketball player growing up. I played, like, every other sport, like, in high school. But during pandemic, we had a basketball court in our apartment complex and nobody was using it.
Yeah.
So I just like looked up how to shoot like Steph Curry. And then I just spent like
an hour tutorial.
Yes, I literally just went an hour every day and I had my phone there being like, how does he do his elbow? Like, how is his feet? Like, and like, yeah, like an hour every day. And then I lack a lot of the fundamentals, but like I can shoot the ball now. So
it's cool.
It's just a very fun way to like get active, get away from work, go see people. Get, especially because I work from home, I live alone, so it's very easy for me to just go multiple days without interacting with people in person.
You're literally describing my life right now. Like, work from home, make my content, stay in my bubble. Like, it's which is such a luxury. Like, it truly is, because like I'll talk to a couple of my friends that have jobs where they leave their house and have to get ready to go to work, and it is such a luxury. But man, it is also so isolating.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, and it's like, it's, you know, I have my friends on Discord that I'll play games with, and they're awesome, and one or two of them are in LA, so we hang out whenever we can. But in terms of just having people within a 5 to 10 minute radius of me, that's like really hard to get. I have like one or two friends from the gym that I go to, and then people I met through basketball. So
that's what you need.
Yeah.
Gym friends, game friends, cosplay friends. You know, you got your circles going, which is great.
Yes. And I'll tell you right now that NBA basketball is the greatest reality TV you'll ever watch.
Really?
Not even necessarily because of what happens on the court, but because these dudes are superstars. So, you know, like football players, they're famous, but a lot of the times they got the helmets on. You can't really see, like, oh, who's who on the feet. It's the same thing with, like, baseball. There's nine players on each team. They're wearing hats. Like, their faces are obscured. It's always zoomed out.
Right.
Basketball is intimate. You know, it's 5-on-5. You can always tell who is, like, the star. Each player's got their own, like, play style. It's almost like they have their own special moves and stuff like that. Yo, what's his loadout? You know, is he a shooter? Is he a passer? Is he a defender? Like, what does he do? And then these people are, like, dating Kardashians. They've got drama with their teammates. Some of them become, like, rappers as well and start, like, rapping or dissing each other and stuff like that. And, like, diss tracks and stuff like that. It's the funniest thing. Like, Shaq and Kobe, like, hated each other at one point, even though they're, like, two of the greatest teammates of all time. Like, Shaq left the Lakers because those two just did not like each other at all, even though they were so good on the court. So following the behind the scenes was, like, really interesting. The Lakers' best player right now randomly got traded from Dallas in a move that never happens. Like, you never get rid of your best player in the middle of the season just randomly. And the team that he was, the Dallas team, started, like, bad-mouthing him, being like, oh, he's fat, he's lazy, even though he just took them to the finals.
What?
And like, he's fat, he's lazy. Jealousy. This guy's name is Luka. Yeah, and so they traded Luka, and we gave them a player who's very good. His name's Anthony Davis. The Lakers gave him Anthony Davis. He's very good, but he's older, much more injury prone, and he's not as good as Luka.
You should have given LeBron.
Right? And, like, but it was a terrible trade for Dallas. Like, it's considered, like, the worst trade in NBA history. And when I tell you, like, my world stood still when I got the Twitter notification, Luka Doncic to the Lakers. I was in the room with my rapper friend, and I, like, I had to read it, like, three or four times, saying, like, Luka to the... Did he get hacked? Like, what the...
Yeah,
because the guy who... There's always the same guy who breaks the news first. I'm like, oh, he got hacked. There's no way. Like, I like three or four times. And so it's so fun now he's on... Like, so Luka got a lot skinnier in the offseason because he was overweight, like, for a basketball player.
Okay,
so he, like, cut 30 pounds.
Wow.
And he has this whole, like, revenge tour thing going on
right now.
And so it is just, like... I feel like whenever I introduce somebody to NBA basketball... Like, the best way to be like, you don't even have to be that into the game. Let me just teach you about the players and all of the, like, the shit that's going on behind the scenes, who they're dating. Like, one of the funniest things was there was a player on the Spurs, like, you know, 15 years ago, where he ended up just, like, hooking up with his teammate's wife. And then they have to go play on the court. They make tens of millions of dollars every year. They have to put it aside and go win games. So can you imagine the locker room after that?
I don't even,
it's like, that's reality TV right there.
Just imagine back in the days when you had Dennis Rodman on your team.
Yes.
And he would never show up for practice. He was always
late. He was with Carmen Electra at the time.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
This is Michael Jordan's, one of his best teammates of all time.
Wow.
And Michael Jordan is the no bullshit work ethic.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I'm the greatest of all time. I will work harder. I will, like, whatever I need to do, I will do it. Mm-hmm. Then this guy skips out on practice to fly to casinos in Vegas to hook up with Carmen Electra.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's got, like, pink hair and, like, tattoos. Yeah. And
he's for it.
Yeah. Like, he got
best defense ever, dude.
Yeah, the greatest rebounder of all time was some guy that they found. He was basically homeless playing street ball.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I had no idea there was so much drama.
Yeah.
I work at a sports bar, so every sport that comes in, I get the fans, and then, like, it's just the dish. I hear everything about the team player, the drama of the past, and then people just talking crap.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome.
That time, the Warriors were a super team already.
Yeah.
And then the team that they beat, their best player just joined the Warriors instead of, like, being like, oh, we'll get revenge. Actually, no, I'm just going to go join the enemy you know, go win two championships and stuff like that. So one of the greatest players of our generation is now, like, hated by so many players because he's like, oh, you turned your back on your team to go join the winners.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I had no idea.
Same can be said about LeBron. He's just chasing a ring. So
yeah.
I just hate it when people put LeBron in the category of Kobe and Jordan.
I don't know. I'm a LeBron. We could have this conversation off stream. I'm a LeBron fan.
Okay.
So yeah, I have him up there.
And I'll put him in the same category as Jordan or I mean Curry is up there with Jordan and Kobe, but like I just don't see LeBron. Like I see LeBron with like Ewing and like he's in the second category. He's at the top tier class to me.
I don't know, bro. That guy, that's the King James right there, bro. We might have to tie. No, I'm sure your audience is very much relating to this NBA nuanced talk.
I mean, but honestly, our audience is like 90% men. So
okay.
So I think,
So how the hell are you gonna say that Kobe's better than LeBron, bro? Cause we're talking about the all-time points leader. Like,
listen.
Four-time MVP.
This is great.
He had a statue first.
He went to the finals 8 years in a row.
Kobe's got a record that I don't think LeBron will ever get close to breaking, okay?
Which one?
All Kobe's records. I mean, look. I mean,
LeBron has most of the records.
LeBron has. Okay, LeBron. The only thing LeBron's missing
is
an Oscar for the best drama on court because, he pushed it to me. Falls down. He's such a whiner.
He's 40.
He should retire.
He's still averaging 20 at 40.
Larry Bird
has never been seen before.
Larry Bird could be a better player than him right now, okay?
No, Larry Bird has to, like, he has to stretch to stand up out of his chair now.
Oh, no.
He's 60.
Oh, no. Okay, that makes sense.
I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm just saying. Yeah. Okay, Luka's awesome, okay? I remember when he just got drafted.
Don't get it twisted.
Everybody got crazy. Yes. Went nuts. There was T-shirts. Those guys in the streets were selling T-shirts, and I'm like, this is cool.
Yeah,
and he's been a positive thing in the Lakers. Just like the last couple of games, they put LeBron in, and they take DeLuca out. I'm just like, what are you doing? And then we lose the game. You know, I'm just put him to the side, let him retire gracefully.
They got no depth, bro. That's the issue.
That's the problem. Anyway, there's no depth. No,
that team's rough. But shout out the Clippers. They're winning a lot of games now.
I know.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
The other LA team. LA NBA teams.
Is there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that normal?
No.
No.
Some states don't have NBA
LA
teams.
Then what? Why?
LA has. Okay. LA
Does
has.
Does California have four NBA teams?
Think so.
Sac, Golden State.
Sac, yep.
There's a team called
the two LA. Sacramento Kings.
Okay, what they're called?
Does San Diego still have one?
No, the Clippers were San Diego.
They were Clippers. Yeah. And they had the Spurs before, right? Not Spurs.
No.
The Sonics.
That was Seattle.
That was Seattle?
Yeah.
I swear to God, I went to one basketball game in San Diego at the Sports Arena a long time ago. And it was our basketball team.
Interesting. Maybe it was a minor league, like G League?
Probably.
Hmm. Okay.
Damn.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then we also got two football teams out here in LA. So, yeah. You know, we got two football teams, two basketball teams.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why people hate LA so much.
We got
much.
Two baseball, Anaheim and LA.
Anaheim. Oh my God, yes.
Two hockey teams, yeah. Ducks and Kings.
Which is like, listen, we need two, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need two of each.
Yeah.
Thank you.
As the market is so lucrative out here that it's like, okay, we could go be the only team in Portland, or we could go split LA's revenue, which is going to be more than Portland's like entire revenue. Exactly. So it's lucrative. Oh. Yeah.
And see, this is why I love how open-ended our show is, because we never would have got that if we were just like, so how's your day?
Yeah.
Right, I got a question for you. Ooh. Would you rather have had the Raiders here, or do you like the Chargers here?
I was a Chargers fan growing up because I grew up in Orange County.
Okay. And so all right.
During the specific years that I was growing up, even though LA has two NFL teams now, two football teams, LA did not have a football team when I was growing up.
No.
It was the Rams, which are now back in LA, but they went to St. Louis for some reason for like a certain amount of years.
Yeah.
And then were the Raiders LA before Oakland?
Oakland Raiders and LA Raiders, and then
and then back to Oakland.
Yeah, back to Oakland.
Yeah, and so there was no team specifically in LA, and Orange County didn't have a football team.
No.
And so San Diego was about the same distance from where I lived as LA was, and San Diego had the Chargers, and so I became a Chargers fan. They've never been to a Super Bowl or anything. They kind of suck.
I love them. I started watching in 94 when they went to the Super Bowl. The last time they went to the Super Bowl against the Niners in Florida.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
1994 or 1993.
That's crazy. Then they were in San Diego?
Chargers was in San Diego. And they went against the 49ers with Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. No, Steve Young. Steve Young and Jerry Rice. And they lost really bad. Really
that
bad.
Makes
I can't
sense.
Remember the score.
That sounds like the Chargers.
But it was really, really bad. And then, like, now they're here. I remember.
They're just trying their best.
They just got eliminated from the playoffs in a pretty embarrassing fashion. They got their butt kicked.
I know. But they get close every year, and I love that determination. They were never this close in the past.
I never get invited on a sports podcast, so this is awesome.
You can come back anytime and talk sports. Yeah. Our audience. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I would create one with you. You want to do that?
That's awesome. But, Yeah, I grew up in that LaDainian Tomlinson, Phillip Rivers, Antonio Gates, all those guys. That was my team.
Okay, mine was Natron, Junior Seau, and Sam Humphries.
Okay, yep. My favorite thing is, so Phillip Rivers, he's like 47 or 48 now. And this is how hard it is to find a good quarterback in the NFL. I think quarterback is the hardest position in any sport because it's an IQ thing and a skill thing. Like, you have to have both the craziest decision-making skills and you have to have an arm like a cannon.
Yeah.
And you have to memorize all these plays. You have to run the entire offense. You have to be a leader. You have to do this. It is so hard to find a competent NFL quarterback that the Colts decided to get the Chargers' old retired quarterback, Phillip Rivers, to play two games. Mm-hmm. So Phillip Rivers is like 48 this year. Tom Brady was like 40 when he retired.
Yeah.
So Phillip Rivers probably late 30s when he retired. He probably hasn't set foot on a NFL field in 10 years.
Wow. They pulled him out of retirement.
They pulled him out of retirement. Yeah. And he played two games with them as their starting quarterback.
It's crazy.
He was okay, but he was an old But that's how difficult it is to like get, so because like these young guys just don't have the same experience as the old guys, so the IQ isn't there, you know.
That's why it's a shame what happened to Vic and then also Kaepernick. You know, I'm just like, yeah, I saw those two, they could have been legends.
Yeah,
you know? But politics and stuff, and weird stuff, well, dog stuff. Yeah. Not like nasty, creepy dog stuff, fighting.
It's like, I know.
Yeah.
I was like, dogs?
Oh my god! Yeah.
The leaning on me there.
I was a Michael Vick fan, and then I wasn't.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, a lot of drama.
Yeah,
it's reality TV.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is.
Dang, I've learned so much. Yeah. We never would have got this had we just, but
speaking of the pocket thing of the court stuff. I've had that, but like at bars, they have pool tables.
Oh, yeah.
They're the only other pool sharks or pool people that I only see them at the pool table. Mm. Nowhere else. And sometimes there'll be like celebrities here and there, an executive, a lawyer, or like an entertainment lawyer or something like that, or an athlete. But we all just sit there and play a game. And just like how you say, you're like, the winner rules the court.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, same thing with the person that's kicking ass and billiards. So it's like, I used to have that too, man.
It's unplanned. You know, there's no schedule of like, oh, let's all show up at this time.
That's what I was going to ask. No. So, because I hate to say it, but men are a little flaky and unreliable.
Yeah.
So how does it actually, like, work out like that? You all just happen to show up?
Yeah, you get different people. Like, yeah. Like, maybe half of the people you see, you kind of recognize from previous times. But, like, I was gone for 5 or 6 weeks because I was touring, and then I got tired, and I was like,
but is there like a day where it's like, oh, this is the pickup window from, like,
I mean, it's
4
usually
to 8,
like
Tuesday.
Weekends in the mornings is usually like the time. It's like, okay, cool. Like, Saturday, Sunday, like, people are off work. They want to get their workout in earlier in the day so they can enjoy it, like, later.
Gotcha.
And just relax or get errands done. And so I feel like that's usually the window. But also, if you just go to, like, any popular gym with a basketball court, like, after work hours, like, 6 to 10. Like, there's usually pickup going on there.
Got it.
The gym I go to now doesn't have a court, so it's I just play outdoor now.
Okay, that's almost better, though. Fresh air.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
The only thing is the rims suck, so, like, each hoop is different.
Sure,
so it's oh, the net's ripped on this one, so this is kind of less satisfying. Or,
you see the new rip? The new nets?
Like,
they're trying to push out for, like, streets.
The plastic ones?
Yeah.
No, don't even bring that up. If I can't hear a swish when I shoot the ball, then I'm going to go play golf. You know?
Right.
Wait, do you hate golf?
Are
you a good
golfer?
Golf
is a...
That's another episode.
Golf is a great sport for when you want to, like, impress your future father-in-law or something like that. Like, that's, like... that. I feel like it's more of a... I want to connect with somebody, so let's go play a sport where 99% of it is us not playing the sport.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
There's business meeting golf.
Yeah.
And then there's miniature golf, which is fun.
I like mini golf. Yeah, I do. Yeah. It is fun. And I like golfing, but I rather do, like, Top Golf or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're a Top Golf guy?
It's fun. Yeah. Hey. It's like hitting the bowling alley, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just like, we don't have to be good at this. This is more about ordering a pitcher of beer and wings, you know?
Yeah, and having a good
and
time.
And then, like,
yeah.
But people, I know I personally, like, when I want to go hang out with friends, I want to move my body.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if we just go to, like, a restaurant, it's like, okay, that's cool, but, like, I don't know. It's fun to have a little bit of competition. We can kind of, like, we have something to talk about. Like, oh, dude, you suck at this. You know, like that.
Yeah.
That's the.
Yeah.
It's like, or those last, like, 2 or 3 swings, you really lock in, being like, oh, the score's close. Okay, now I have to, like, actually try to be good because I do want to win, even if it's not that big of a deal. But then the competitiveness gets in there.
It's like Dave and Buster's when they have all those competitive games. I like those.
Yeah. Going to an arcade. Yeah. I love arcade bars.
Yeah.
Like, that's always a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Especially once I have the classic machines. Like, from when I was growing up. Yeah, like, I'll hit that Neo Geo 98 machine like crazy, bro.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Metal Slug.
Metal Slug. Oh, yeah. You ever play, like, Bubble Bobble where you, like, shoot the different colored marbles?
No.
My God. These are, like, growing up going to, like, Shakey's Pizza or Round Table Pizza or something like that. The pizza arcades and stuff like that.
Yeah,
they just
Pizza Planet.
They just have those products. It's the same thing.
It's
Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they have, like, the old arcade cabinets, and it's fun. It's just they have it for adults now.
Exactly.
They have arcade bars now.
Yeah.
That's fun. There's one in there's actually one around, I think, in this area. It's like not too far away, but they have, like, karaoke nights.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you can go just have the normal bar experience, or you can go in there, play air hockey, play Mario Kart, play the basketball, like, shooting game.
Yeah.
Hit the punching bag. One of my favorite arcade machines is the punching bag.
Really?
Because
I like seeing the epic fails of the punching bag.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes. Shout out. I'm sure my cousin had this ex-boyfriend, and we all went out to this arcade bar. And I could see when his masculinity took the biggest hit.
Ooh.
Because I went up. And I've done boxing, so I can throw a decent hook.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know, it goes up to, like, 999. So, like, I can get it to, like, the low 900 range, like, when I go in to do the swing. Then he goes into swing, and, like, if this is the punching bag right here, grazes the bottom of it.
No!
It moves up super slowly, but it does move enough. One.
No!
They won!
It's a one!
One out of 999.
And you're like, nice one.
Yep. Oh, and man. So.
Get it.
Yep. That was the beginning of the end, unfortunately, for him.
No!
But it's so fun. They, like, there's no great, and it's on camera.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I like to see the ones that try to kick it. I'm like, come on. Yeah. Just stop. Stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can safely say I've never done that. I've never done, like, the punching bag machine.
We gotta go.
What's an arcade, like, if you go to, like, an arcade bar, like, is there a certain machine that you would gravitate towards?
Miss Pac-Man or Pac-Man? Because okay. I'm terrible at it. Like, yeah. There was one time I was on this set for the movie, it's called Trucker, and I was, like, one of the girls who happens to be, like, chased by the guy named Trucker and gets killed eventually. And so the director made a bet with me, and he was like, if you win this game, I will let your character live. And I was like, let's go. Let's throw down. And sure enough, I lost because he had it in his office. And I should have known that, like, if he has it in his office, he knows exactly what he's doing. He's played this game 100 times. Yep. And yeah, he like obliterated me. And I was like, well, you can write me out.
anybody that has a game in their possession, like, they challenge it. Like my uncle has a pool table. I'm good at playing pool.
Yeah.
His pool table, he has like this one little corner where it's just really close to the wall.
Yep.
And he's really good with a short stick. I hate the short stick.
Oh, I had the same thing. My parents got one like on one of my birthdays or something like that. Or like, I don't know, like a graduation or something like that. So it's still in their house.
Mm-hmm.
And like one of it's close to the fireplace. So like you have to use the short stick.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it sucks.
Yeah. He mastered that and he kicks my butt every time.
Yep.
And every time he's out here to come visit me, I'm like, you want to go to the pool hall? There's one down the street. He's like, nah, I'm cool. I'm cool, guys.
Yep.
I'm cool.
Yeah.
Let's go downtown. I'm like, all right, let's go downtown. Always looking for a pool table.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have like a specific game that you think you're like one of the best at? Like it can be niche, it could be like if like I know a lot of people are just like, oh, I just play games for fun, but I had hyper fixations.
Yeah.
Like
Repo.
I could tell you right now.
Repo? You think I was good at Repo? I think I was good at reacting to Repo. I got the best clips of me
Like it'd be something screaming. Like growing up. Like I got two. I think that I'm like a top 100 all time Mario Baseball for the GameCube player.
Okay,
I played. I love that so much. And then I like got back into it during COVID, and I'm like, oh yo, I'm like actually really good at this. And I started looking at like the character tier list that like because there's still Discords that are actively playing this GameCube game.
Okay, hell yeah.
And like it's so niche, so I know that I'm like okay, the guys I'm that the are best. In there. Every day, I know I'm probably not beating.
For sure.
Right.
Anybody else, I don't care how much you played it as a kid or if you still got the game, like I'm probably kicking your ass.
Yeah.
And that's like always like really fun. It's like the type of game where like back when I would get high more often, I would just like turn brain off and just like run a full campaign of Mario Baseball.
Yeah. Yes.
And like just beat the game like start to finish. Like,
wow.
And then specifically for the Xbox 360, Dragon Ball Z Raging Blast 2.
There's
probably like 50 Dragon Ball Z games, and for some reason my brain just clicked with that one when I was a teenager. And so I was like a top rank online player.
Wow, okay.
And then I kept playing it even after like the online scene died out.
Yeah.
So I know it's just I haven't played it in like a couple years, but anytime like someone boots open the game, I'm like, oh yeah, they can't touch me, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think the only thing that I actually am like weirdly good at is like the timed battles in Pikmin. I don't know if you've ever played the Nintendo game.
Yeah,
Pikmin.
Yeah. Which like OG?
They didn't have the timed battles in the original game. They started introducing them like I think just in the last like two or three games. Where like you only have like 60 seconds to like get through this map, and like the sooner you can clear all the different like puzzle pieces and like the more Pikmin you can keep alive, you get like higher points. And I did, however, go on Twitch one day and like look up to see if anybody else was doing the time battles, and there was a bunch of people that like play the same map over and over and over again that like you said I probably couldn't beat, but there's like a handful I would say of like people that I could beat just because I've like played the puzzle game so much.
Yeah,
like,
that's your pool table. Is
I
like,
guess so. Yeah, because I'm obsessed with that game. Like the dopamine hits. Mm. Like I'll go to sit and play because I Twitch stream twice a week for 3 hours on each day, and like when I play that game, There are some times where I'm there for 8 hours, like, streaming. I'm just like, no, one more round. I can do it faster.
I've been there.
My audience all knows it. They're like, Dare, you need to put Pikmin down. It's a drug. You can't. But
so what? Yeah. Which one have you been playing the most?
Of the Pikmin games?
Yeah.
Or just games?
Yeah.
Oh, man. What one have I been playing the most? I guess I would say...
If you were to just pick up one to just flex on somebody, like show, like, oh, like, let me show you how good I am at this game. Which one are you picking up?
Probably not two, that's for sure. I really did not like the second Pikmin game. Okay. I was not good at that one at all. So maybe like three or four, I would say. Maybe four, just because there's like more variety of Pikmin. Because like they all have like different powers. Like the red are immune to fire. The yellow can pick up like electric bombs. Have you ever played the...
I played the OG Pikmin on GameCube, and then I'm familiar with the basic interactions because of Smash Brothers as well.
I was a big Smash Brothers, like, because I grew up with a brother who's 3 years older than me. Mm-hmm. So, like, we would always play Smash Brothers, and, like, if there was a time where I could beat him, it was, like, the biggest celebration because he's such a good gamer.
Yeah.
Like, he would just beat me to a pulp in that game. But we had like, the NES, the GameCube, we had the Wii... I'm missing one of them. But, like, we played Smash Brothers throughout, like...
Got it.
All the games. The newest one I'm terrible at, though. I don't know why, but...
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
story mode, I'm ass
oh,
at.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm so bad.
The mechanics change, like, game to game. So if you just become so used to, like, how Melee played or Brawl played, and then you switch to the new one, you're like, oh, the character timing is different. The interactions are different. Some of the controls are different. So
Brawl, in my opinion, was, like, peak.
I
loved Brawl.
That was probably the one I played the most growing up, just because that was like around that time when I had
the age window
where I had a lot of time to just play video games whenever. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, at that age, like, hell, if you like a video game, you could just play it start to finish like all day.
And
Brawl was really, really fun. And what I found so much fun about that era was I still didn't have a lot of internet access.
Okay,
so I couldn't look up how to unlock the characters.
Right.
I couldn't even look up who are all of the characters in the game. So I get surprised.
It was exciting.
Who is this Angel Pit? Like, I've never played Kid Icarus. Who is
this?
Yeah. And like these just random characters that I've never seen, and they'd be like, oh my god, Lucario?
You'd get like the magazine to like try to help you get through the game.
Yeah.
Like, I remember there was like a Wario GameCube game. And it was so iconic. It was really fun. And, like, we couldn't beat one of the bosses. So we had to, like, beg our mom to buy us, like, this dumb magazine that had, like, a clue on how to beat the boss.
Game Good.
Yeah.
Is that, like, Wario World, like, with all the gold and stuff like that?
The 3D one. Was eating the garlic?
They actually just put that on the Switch, like, GameCube thing. So you can go play it on the Switch now.
Hell
like, if you have, like, the GameCube.
GameCube was where it was at. Like, we used to have two. Like, we were big Nintendo family. So
I'm a little old school, though.
I miss it.
I had arcades. Soul Calibur 2 was mine.
Nice.
And then
You could run Soul Calibur 2.
Oh, yeah. Tekken Tag.
Was that the one that had Link in it?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was the Tekken Tag. That was the best. And then the last one I remember playing, that I would walk into the arcade, be there for 8 hours with only four quarters, and then walk out with two quarters.
Like, that's awesome.
That's impressive.
Marvel versus Capcom 3.
Yep.
You get me? If I fight anybody with the cheat characters, and you people at home know who the cheat characters are, all right, the Sentinel, Cable, and Storm, or Magneto, I hate you guys. But that was it. That was the thing. And everyone's like, oh, great, Cosmo's here. I was like, guys, go ahead, play. I'm going to get some chili fries. Then I'm going to come in, put my quarter right there on the screen. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
That was the equivalent of I got next on the basketball court. You put the quarter on the machine and be like, I'm in line.
Good times, man.
Count your days.
But when I tried to play that online with PlayStation 3, I think it was, was the online thing. I was like, let me try Soul Calibur. Got my ass kicked by some kid. Let me try Tekken Tag. Got my ass kicked by some kid. Let me try Marvel's.
And these kids grew up playing it either on controller or
iPad babies.
They're used to online lag as well.
The controller is a whole different ballgame from the actual like joysticks. So,
that's why like the fight sticks are a lot very popular with some of these like guys that play pro. Like I was pretty good at Street Fighter 4.
Okay.
And so Hilariously, I was good with the controller, so when people would pull up with the fight stick, I had no clue what I was doing because I didn't play it in the arcade.
I love the fight stick.
I'm a big controller person. Like, I didn't like the Wii remote. I hated that thing. That was bad. Yeah. I don't even like the Switch console now. Like, I have my whole setup rigged so that way I use an actual controller.
Yeah, I have a pro controller as
but
well.
But I'll like PC game. I had to teach myself how to PC game because that was, especially with Nails, like, I'm doomed. Like, that's why repo is like hard for me because like everyone else has like their fingers on the thing. Nubs. Mine are like, I got the cat claw. So it's like, people love the ASMR and they love me screaming when like, I'm really good at horror games because I'm very entertaining to listen to because I can't take myself out of it. So I scream.
Nice. Yeah, don't ever watch your streams like on your phone with headphones.
No,
got it.
Because all my friends like playing like Phasmophobia, Repo, like they love even like non-scary games. Like something will like just slightly startle me and I'll just be like, oh God, okay, my bad. Getting back into it. Like I don't know what it is.
I used to be like that a lot. Yeah, with I hated horror as a kid.
Same.
Now, so my background's in film production. I went to school for film.
Oh.
And I went down the street to USC.
I think we need to like bring you back for another episode because like what new side quests unlocked?
Yes. And so I won't even dive into the year I worked at Intel doing virtual reality development. But
whoa.
Yes.
This episode better perform well so we can bring
Cam back. No, the side quest list is, I brought it up earlier, like it's deep, but on and off YouTube, but after I started learning how horror was made, I started just appreciating it rather than getting scared by it. Cause like, I knew it was like, oh, okay, if I were making this movie, then I would have the jump scare right around here. Mm-hmm. And then it happens. I'm like, yep, that was good.
Yep.
Good job. Or like when the, like, you know, it gets like really gross and gory and like stuff that would usually make me squeamish. I'm like, oh wow. Makeup department did a really good job there.
Yeah. You
like,
take yourself out of it.
There's a few movies that I couldn't do that. Like Hereditary was like a movie where I'm like, this is messing me up, bro. Like they did a good job because I don't care how they made this. I just, ugh.
Yeah.
And that movie last year, The Substance, the makeup was so good and so gross that I just had to laugh being like, yeah, they deserve an award for this because I hate it. Like, it's awful. And, I used to be so jumpy with horror games. I've made a ton of music themed after Five Nights at Freddy's back when that was like starting out. Yeah, I was very early on that wave.
Yeah.
And I was probably like one of the first five people to make FNAF music.
Okay, yeah.
And when I would edit the videos, I would like, you know, download somebody else's gameplay because I didn't want to play the game because the jump scares freaked me out. And I bookmark where the jump scares were. And even then, you know, I would have to edit I would have to edit in high school at like midnight, like with the lights off, because like, you know, like my parents wanted me sleeping at a proper time, but also doing my homework. And so like they didn't give me a lot of time to work on my videos.
Oh,
so I would like stay up late and just do everything, like, you know, while they thought I was asleep. So I was in my room having to be completely silent, lights completely out, headphones on, and in the editing software just going frame by frame waiting for him to jump, just like,
oh my god.
Nope. Oh, I hate it. Yeah.
Nope. And then like the
yeah,
just get the one frame of him popping up. I'm like, damn it. It's like now, like, Five Nights at Freddy's seems so tame, but, like, back then, it was genuinely, like, really well-done horror, because that had never been done before. Like, that type of game, you know, this...
The art of the jump scare.
Yeah, but like, the jump scare was a thing.
Story. Yeah.
But what I really liked about Five Nights at Freddy's, what made it so cool in that time, was that in so many previous games, you're running away from something that's scary. And this one, you are trying everything you can to stop something scary from coming to you because you can't move in the game. So it's like, you know they're coming, and you know all you can do is like press the buttons to hopefully like stop them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's inevitable. You can't run. You can't outrun them. You can't like, get away from them. And so like that feeling of like, oh, you're trapped and you're just trying to keep them out was like so new compared to you're running away from something or you're fighting something. Mm-hmm. You know, this, you can't fight back. All you can do is... watch, you know.
Yeah, it's a really I've never played the game, but like the fan base is like insane, so it's cool to see that it's appreciated.
Now it's like a meme, you know. It's like you know, the characters are like Pokemon at this point. It's like, mm-hmm. oh my God, I love Toy Freddy. I love this character. Oh my God, this puppet, you know, like, oh, they're fun. They're cute. You know, put them on a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. But like the first one or two games, I was genuinely like, because I hated Chuck E. Cheese as a kid. Like, I hated animatronics. I hated
Mascot.
I was scared. I was afraid of a lot of things.
Yeah.
I hate, and I felt so vindicated that I'm like, okay, cool. The most popular horror game is people being afraid of the Chuck E. Cheese animatronics.
Like,
I'm like,
not a loser.
I was right. I was right. These things are scary.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
those things are awesome.
Yeah. No, I love like theme parks now and mm-hmm. animatronics. I think they're all cool. But my God, like I remember as a kid getting stuck on It's a Small World and you just hear the like, because the music cut out, so you just hear all the spinning gears and just like tree. Like, all right, these things are going to come eat me.
Yeah. You
know, like, Small World, side note, Small World, it's the best place to take a nap. Just kick back and lean on somebody's shoulder and just knock out for a few hours. You just
treat it like white noise and doze off.
Exactly.
That's the designated nap area in Disney. I like it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, speaking of designated nap area, hopefully you're not asleep watching this episode because we're going to take this on over to Patreon. Woo-hoo! That was a bad segue, but, you know,
it's a great
I tried.
Segue. It's a great
Thanks. Yeah. You know, I tried. But thank you so much for both of you joining us. Cosmo, if you want to say where everybody can find you on social media.
The Cosmo Network. March is kicking butt with a Monday through Friday kind of thing. So please tune in, subscribe, leave comments, help out. Be awesome. And then also on Instagram and TikTok.
Amazing. And then also, Cam, where can everybody check out your stuff on social media?
Yeah, I am The Cam Steady on all social media platforms. If you want to see me post about the same song over and over and over again, then come follow me there on YouTube, Cam Steady, Spotify, Cam Steady. And because it's March, I am about to be on tour in like a week or two.
Whoa!
So if you have any interest in seeing some really good live music with my friend Jen Wonner, a.k.a. Big Man Blastoise, and Nate Wants to Battle, one of the greatest anime cover artists and nerdcore rock artists of all time, you can come see us all throughout the South, East, and Midwest of the U.S.
Oh, that's so cool, man. I might want to try to make that happen. Are you doing L.A. again soon or not?
I don't know
if
we're doing L.A., but if, you know, you're like Vegas or something like that, you know, okay. I can guest list, you know.
I would love to come.
I'll show you the cities and just let me know.
That'd be sick.
That'd be dope.
And then you guys all know where you can find me, Dare Taylor Official, on Instagram with the blue check mark. And be sure to hit the link in my bio where my link tree has all of the goodies on it. Push a bunch of those buttons. But don't forget to push the button that takes you to Patreon, because you guys got some questions in there that I'm very excited to see Cam's answers to. So thank you all so much for joining us on this Delulu Canoe River Ride episode. And don't forget to stay Delulu, because it's the Salulu. Bye.